You're not sick, Amelia, no.
No?
No, you're a little farsighted.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
Thanks for listening.
Enjoy the show.
How you doing, Murder?
I'm doing so good, Justin. How are you doing?
Good. We're back.
We're back.
We're back.
Here we are.
And every time we promise we're going to do it once a month, it's like, no, not going
to
happen.
Yeah, I think we need to stop jinxing it.
So if we don't promise it, maybe we will be back.
We're never doing this podcast.
Never. We'll be back like next week now for saying that.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
So we are back with a summary movie. We thought something like a big tentpole action flick would be fun. Murder, you picked the movie this month.
Yeah.
Have you seen this one before?
No, I haven't.
Me neither.
Yeah.
This is new for both of us.
Yeah. I remember it coming out, me being really annoyed.
Oh, fair.
Because it was another Nick Cage movie.
I don't have in front of me because I'm a bad host. Do you remember what year this came out?
2004, I want to say.
So the year I got married and the year you were born.
Yeah. I was freshly 14 years old.
Wow. I really am old.
National Treasure.
Speaking of old.
2004, yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of, that is the year I got married.
Wow. Yeah.
Jeez. 19 years in 2 weeks I'll have been married.
That's insane.
Yeah. So speaking of old, and this is something I think we've had this conversation before, but every time I see bands like Fall Out Boy and Panic at the Disco referred to as elder emo,
yeah.
I feel old as shit.
It makes me want to die.
Well, because those bands came out when I was married.
Yeah. It's insane. So, those were like, I was 17 and they were like, fresh.
That works though. Like you kind of fit into the range. Like they're, you know, but for me, like, I'm like, oh yeah, it's they're like third wave of emo for me. Like I'm already, it's crazy.
What, they had that continuation of 1984?
Yeah. So
or
like,
whatever.
So the old emo stuff was like kind of, I wasn't super into. It'd be like the old, like Dag Nasty and like, or like I got into it later, but it wasn't what got me into stuff. But like that was kind of like that old era coming out of like the punk and hardcore scene. And then like the emo I was into was stuff in like the mid 90s, like Jimmy Eat World. Mm. And now of course Jimmy Eat World's still playing today. So people still, but like Get Up Kids, Jimmy Eat World, early Dashboard Confessional stuff, like right around 99.
Yeah. I was like Taking Back Sunday, Brand New, Fall Out Boy.
So growing up in North Jersey, those bands played my scene all the time.
Yeah.
Because they're all from Long Island. And so they all came to Jersey all the time.
Isn't Bowling for Soup also from Jersey?
I believe they are.
Yeah.
They have a lot of Jersey references. So if they aren't from Jersey, they certainly spent time there.
And Me First and the Gimme Gimmes, I think they're also from.
Well, they're from all over.
Yeah.
And there are members who are definitely from New Jersey.
Yeah.
Because Me First has got guys who, like, it's actually got a guy who used to be in the Foo Fighters. Mm-hmm. It's got two guys from No Use for a Name.
Oh.
It's got a guy from Swinging Utters.
Yeah.
And then Fat Mike from NoFX.
Yeah.
So they're all over the place. But yeah, interesting.
Welcome to our music podcast.
Hey, so I think we're here to talk about Nick Cage, though. And Nick Cage is definitely, I'm sure, like a classical music guy, not into this shit.
I feel like he likes obscure German techno. That's what
I could
would
see that.
Say.
Like 80s krautrock and classical music and nothing else. Like
he seems like
things.
The type of guy who would be like, oh, you don't like chaos Norwegian punk fam, and you'd be like, what is that? He's like, oh, you don't know what that is?
Yeah,
of course
you
don't.
He definitely if a band has more than five fans, he's not into it.
Yeah
I agree with
if
you.
If he has four fans, he's one of them.
Yeah, he is he is one of them, and the other three are their mom. But I mean, you need a good mom to have a good band, I think, sometimes. And you just really to get that following going.
Mom snacks.
And Nick Cage, apparently. So we're here to talk about National Treasure. That's actually what we're here to talk about. And I'm gonna just go ahead and say, and you're gonna prove me wrong, but I had a feeling you might not hate Nick Cage in this movie because he doesn't feel super Nick Cagey.
Yeah, I still don't like him. I feel like he was more boring than he's ever been, which was a plus because he wasn't so annoying.
Okay.
I don't think my problem was with Nick Cage in this movie. I think it was with the movie. It's really stupid.
All right, so let's just start with a little bit of Nick Cage news before I dive back into the movie hardcore. And he's got a new movie coming out where he plays the devil. Have you seen this?
No, I remember you telling me about it, but I didn't see the trailer for it.
So by the time this comes out, this episode, in just a few days, I think the movie might actually be out. But of course, as I mentioned before, I'm a poor, ill-prepared host. So I'm going to tell you in just a second. But I believe it was called Sympathy for the Devil. Let's see. Sympathy for the Devil. Here it is. And it is releasing the end of the month. So we have a couple weeks. So if you listen to this, you'll see on the 28th it's coming out. And I'm actually working really hard on trying to find a way to get an in for us for that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically, there's a good chance I might actually have an interview with somebody involved in making the movie.
Oh, right.
So you're the first you're hearing it. So we're wow. So next time you hear us, we might have like a little special. Maybe not. It'd be really cool if we ever get to talk to Nick Cage, except that then it'll be like the end of the podcast because you're going to offend him so much. He's going to shut us down.
Yeah, he's going to sue us.
It's going to be bad. So maybe we shouldn't try to meet Nick Cage.
My first question would be, do you like what you do?
Do you even like it? Your movies?
Do you think you're doing a good job?
I actually think he thinks he's doing a great job, but I don't know that he likes his movies. Like, I'll bet you he'll probably be like, oh, well, I don't really love that one.
Yeah, he'd be like, I just do it to pay my divorce bills.
Yeah, which I think will be paid off somewhere around 2042.
Yeah.
Around the time he is on his deathbed.
Dude, I was just telling your wife. So do you know Bette Davis is the actress with the highest amount of movies, like movie credits, at 123 in her 80 years of living, 6 years of acting. Nick Cage has been acting for 40 years. He has 108.
So
what the fuck?
Are you familiar with Eric Roberts? So he's Julia Roberts' brother, older brother, but you would recognize him because he's in a bazillion movies. He actually has, I think, something like 358 credits.
Oh, my God. What is he, like an extra and stuff?
No, but they're really short cameo roles a lot of times. Gotcha. Like, during the pandemic, he was in tons of movies through Zoom. Like, I shit you not, he was in movies through Zoom.
What?
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
I definitely have seen him, But he's also in, like, and he's one of my favorites because the level of interest he has in the movie is so blatant when he's in a movie. Like, if he doesn't give a fuck, he shows you he doesn't give a fuck. So, like, you'll watch a movie and be like, oh, he was high and drunk as shit when he was doing this movie, and he was only on set for 3 hours.
Really?
Yeah, but then other movies you could tell that he really loved. Like, recently, one of the little cult favorites of Eric Roberts has been the Stalked by My Doctor series on Lifetime. He plays the doctor in all three of the movies.
Oh, my God.
And they're batshit crazy. A friend of mine who actually does my other podcast with me, Curtain Jerkers, he has a podcast called Eric Roberts is the Fucking Man. And they decided they were going to go through every Eric Roberts movie. It's not possible because you'd have to record daily to even make a dent. Because he keeps acting. That's the thing.
He has so many credits.
It's ridiculous. So, thankfully Nick Cage doesn't have quite that many movies. But I do think he phones in some of his stuff. And it sounds like you might feel like he kind of phones this one in a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like he just like didn't care to be a part of it. Like, it didn't seem like he gave a shit. But I think he was actually going through one of his divorces.
One of many. I think we discovered there were three. I think there's three.
Yeah, I think there's three. But yeah, it just felt like I don't know. It felt like me listening to myself on a phone call with a customer. Like, my heart's not in it. I'm just saying words because I know I'll get fired.
If you're one of Murder's customers,
Yeah.
And you happen to recognize her voice. You're the anomaly. She cares about you.
You're the only one I care about, my loving clients.
And if she didn't sound interested, it wasn't because she wasn't. It was because she was having a rough morning. All right. So now we've cleared that up. Let's talk a little bit about National Treasure. As we've already kind of hinted at, well, I didn't tell you anything about how I felt. I just thought I mentioned that I didn't think you would hate him in it. But so what is this movie about? Like, I think the world probably knows better than we do because we're probably the last two people to see it.
Do you want me to give a summary?
Yeah, I want to hear your version of exactly what happens in this movie.
Okay, so there's a family of, I don't fucking know, Freemasons?
Yes, I guess. They're the Knights Templar.
Yeah, that's like a Freemason, right?
Yeah, it's like it's Freemasons before they called them Freemasons.
Yeah, before they got their stupid little suits.
Yeah, well, no, they had stupid suits back then too, but they were actually knights. This is like way back when.
Oh, they were like knights.
Yeah,
okay.
But what we discover are Masons because it's later. It's not in the way back time. So yes, you're right. They were Masons.
So there's this family that holds this story that there's treasure, and the grandfather super believes in it. Nick Cage's character super believes in it, but his dad doesn't, and his dad doesn't support it. However, Nick Cage, he's a historian, and he goes on basically like a really long, boring scavenger hunt to find the treasure that was hidden away from the British during the Revolution.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty fair. Yeah, that's pretty fair. And his dad is played by John Voight.
Yes, which is also weird because aren't they like the same age?
I think Voight might be 5 years older or something. He just looks older because he's had gray hair since he was like 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I love him though.
Yeah, I do love him too. And actually, I really like
Doug from The Hangover's in it.
why am I going blank on who?
Riley.
Doug from? Oh, right.
Yeah.
And Justin Bartha.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Doug from The Hangover.
And on our next podcast where we talk about the Hangover movies, Sean Bean's in it. Harvey Keitel's obviously in it.
Yeah.
I actually really liked Harvey Keitel in this. I kind of always like Harvey Keitel, to be honest. I don't know. There's something about his whole mystique that I enjoy. Mm-hmm. But overall, I think your summary is pretty good, except I don't think it's boring. I wouldn't say it's boring. They are nerds.
Who names our kid Benjamin Franklin Gates? Who names
a history nerd, I think.
Fucking nerd. What a dork.
I mean, I named my kid after two musicians.
Yeah, that's
cool
as fucking shit. What are you talking about? Yeah, as soon as you said it.
Yeah, I was like, wait, no, that's actually not related.
He looks like he's going to have syphilis and sleep with a lot of French women. I'm going to name him Benjamin Franklin.
He's going to fly a lot of kites.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's so dumb. Of all the people in the world to name it after, it just seemed very silly.
Yeah. I think that I found what I liked about the movie is like I thought the pacing was good. Like it keeps moving.
It doesn't stop, which is nice.
So it moves pretty quick.
Yeah. I don't like filler shit. So they did do good on that. There was just like some things that like him figuring it out that it was on the back of the Constitution. That whole scene was the most annoying thing ever. It was just like, oh, okay, well, the map. So it's in America, and America is the square root of 7, and 7 means this, and that means George Washington and also the Constitution. Like, it was the weirdest, like, pile-up of clues to get him
there.
Well,
of course you have to have the special glasses.
Yeah, and it's, like, not logical at all for him to figure it out. And they said, steal the Constitution 42 times in the movie. Steal the Constitution. And that wasn't even the main plot point.
No.
It had nothing to do. The Constitution was so easy to steal.
Yeah, well, that's actually another thing I want to talk about. So I get why they would be going after him to get the Constitution back. Like, that makes a lot of sense.
For sure.
How the fuck did he just walk out with the fucking Constitution?
That's what bothered me so much because, like, the FBI was like, he's like, oh, somebody's going to steal the Constitution? And the FBI was like, okay, man. Like,
and then they just let it happen.
Like
no big deal. And not only did they let it
happen. He's not a reliable source. He's like a historian and shit.
Well, and the other crazy thing about it is it wasn't like it was just him. If he didn't take it, there was another one lined up to take it right after him.
Yeah.
So, like, people were just lining up to steal the Constitution.
Yeah, and I also know, like, security is pretty tight now. But, like, even in the early 2000s, if I said anything.
Yo, this is post 9/11.
Yeah.
And actually only a couple years post 9/11. There's no way.
Yeah. If I said on this podcast, I'm going to steal the Constitution, I would have the FBI at my door.
Right. So we just want to clarify that she's
not
going to steal
the
Constitution. Yes,
or the Declaration of Independence, because I already have.
Yeah. They're actually already in her basement. Actually, they're in her sister is a velvet lined room.
Yeah,
that,
she has
I don't
a coffin.
Think I recorded that part, but yeah.
Yeah, my sister
her sister lives
in a coffin.
Hi, Jeff.
What up, girl?
Yeah. So there's a lot of inconsistencies about this movie, like a lot. And what I think you hit on, which is interesting, is you have to be really nerdy and into history to vibe with parts of this movie. But also, if you're that nerdy and into history, you might not vibe with it because there's so much inaccurate about it. So it's like, who is this really for?
Yeah. So there was like the inaccuracies, but then there was also like the super easy things. Like, we couldn't possibly figure out this anagram. It says Valley Frog. What does that mean? Valley Frog. What significance to the U.S. history does Valley Frog have? What could it possibly? It's fucking Valley Forge. Like, the
maybe
whole entire
because,
time I was like,
you know,
everybody fucking knows that.
To be fair, we live close to Valley Forge, so maybe
it's
a known thing.
I know. It was like George Washington's biggest failure
of all time. Yeah. It's definitely.
Yeah. It made me so mad. I was just like, this is so dumb. This feels like it's baiting dumb people.
So, it's funny. So I'm gonna tell you some of my little notes here because they kind of play into this. I wrote that I thought it was really fun, but I thought the amount of weird plot holes and inconsistencies with both history and the story itself were insurmountable. Like, I started to jot things down and was like, oh no, that's gonna be one per minute. But I was able to look past it because I thought it really felt like a family movie, kids movie kind of thing. So I just didn't care.
Yeah, it is a Disney joint.
Yeah, it is a Disney joint for sure. Yeah. And there is a sequel, apparently, which I didn't even realize.
There's three sequels.
Oh, he's only in one sequel, though, right?
Yeah, and then there's a TV show now.
Oh, so that's coming out soon, isn't it?
It's already
is it out?
Out?
It's out? Okay.
I accidentally spoiled it for myself.
Oh, I
was looking up fun facts about it, and it was like, and the spoiler to the end of the show is...
And you're kind
of
like, oh, well, I wasn't going to watch it anyway.
I was definitely not going to watch
it.
Yeah,
let's be honest.
Oh, that was the one thing I wanted to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
Fun facts came on because I got this through Prime.
Okay.
Fun facts were like on the side of the screen. If you click the screen, it would pop up. And all the bad guys used Yahoo when they were searching things on the computer in this movie, but all the good guys used Google. And I thought that was just like such a weird thing to put into this movie. And it was very intentional, apparently.
That is weird.
Isn't that the weirdest thing?
So Google in 2004 would have been pretty cutting edge news.
Yeah.
Stuff. Because I think at that point, most people were probably still searching with Yahoo.
Yeah, but it seemed like a very weird branding campaign.
Yeah.
Like a smear campaign
if
against
you really
Yahoo.
Want to be the smart guys, the good guys.
The only good people
don't
use
Yahoo.
Criminals and people from different countries use Yahoo.
This episode is sponsored by Google.
Yeah.
It's actually not. That'd
Google,
be nice.
Please
Google,
give us money.
Go, we'll take it.
Give us
we'll
your money.
But yeah, I mean, that's a really weird fun fact.
I know, isn't that weird?
And honestly, I mean, I don't have any allegiance to either huge multinational shithead corporation, but it's an interesting fact.
I would never use Yahoo to Google.
Well, no.
Google.
That's the funny thing. We use Google as a verb now.
Yeah, you Google it.
But like, I think 2004, I don't know exactly. I think I want to say Google came out in the 01, 02 range, but it probably was really just picking up steam around now.
Yeah.
Because when I was in college in the early 2000s, I graduated in 2003.
Did you use Ask Jeeves?
No, I used mostly Yahoo.
Yeah.
Yahoo, I mean, I had Ask Jeeves on, but I didn't use it. I don't think anyone actually used it. That's why
I did. It was funny.
Alta Vista?
Oh.
Which was, it was a British-based search engine, but at the time, it used to give you different results than Yahoo, so I'd compare them both when I was being too lazy to do real research on things.
Yeah, sure.
I don't even know that Wikipedia was a thing yet.
I don't think so.
In fact, I was a year and a half out of college before YouTube was a thing, which is crazy.
2006, I feel like, is when Wikipedia picked up.
Well, and YouTube was 2005.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, it's kind of crazy.
It's so wild.
We're in such a different world.
How did you live there?
I don't know. In most of college, I didn't even own a GPS, much less a phone that did all the damn GPSing for me.
Oh, yeah. I was a poor kid, so I didn't have a GPS until I was, like, 20.
Well, I bought a Garmin at, like, cash converters.
my car was just riddled with MapQuest papers.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
that's all I did.
Did you ever print two different types of maps so you can compare to see which one had the best? Like, oh, it was MapQuest, and then when Google Maps first came out, and I'd be like, which one? Okay. This is riveting conversation for our listeners. But it does date this movie, though. It's in a weird time where it's like it's the internet's around and they're using it very clearly and importantly as part of the movie, but it's also not like what we're used to anymore.
And their big heist scene right before they steal the Declaration of Independence, where they're just like tip-tapping on the computer and like hacking into the mainframe, right. And there's like lasers. They're like, oh yeah, get that laser. And like they have all this like random technology that they're pulling together. I feel like this was like the heyday for that, because like every hacking movie had that like same trope of this is me hacking. And
so like my favorite example of that is like Hackers, but that's also like a whole decade earlier. It's like 96, I think, or 97. So it's like 7 years or whatever. That movie I watched a lot when I was a kid and like in high school. And I guess it must have been out in like 95, 96, because I saw it in middle school and then watched it pretty much daily for a while.
Yeah.
But at least feels like a step up from that, because those you're actually like riding on what feels like a weird little like hang glider through the computer, and you're looking at stacks of things. It's really weird. This movie doesn't go quite that
far.
No.
But it's definitely like the random technology that they're pulling together, that they're like, oh yeah, we need this laser for reasons.
For no reason. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very weird.
Very, very interesting. So as the movie progresses, they figure out all these different things, like you said. So they figure out it's on the back of the Constitution. They also, though, they steal the Constitution. That's pretty early in the movie, actually. And then they're finding all these different clues. So the other crazy thing is that like all this work to get the Constitution and figure it out, and it's only part of the clue.
Yeah.
It's not like the answer.
Yeah.
Until he finds out like, oh, I have to look through a different color of the weird glasses to see the full picture. And so then he has to.
So weird.
Which to me, the glasses just looked like 3D glasses that But they did have a green lens that if you moved the red lens, there was green behind it. And I don't know. It was kind of somewhere between like old school 3D glasses and like Dwayne Wayne glasses on different. Do you even get that reference?
Mm.
Wow, I'm old.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone who gets the Dwayne Wayne reference, kudos to you. I'm an old man.
It's okay.
But
to your point, it felt like the whole like glasses thing and the different color paper and the invisible ink and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That part really bothered me too.
Yeah.
Because that was insisting that our forefathers were these like crazy scientists ahead of their time.
Only truth to that is that they were crazy.
Yeah, they were fucking nuts. Because they all had syphilis.
And like it came out like obviously much more recently. I mean, like in the last 30, 40 years, but a lot of them smoked weed back then.
Oh yeah.
They grew it. It's kind of awesome to think.
Yeah, and then they all made beer, but their beer had like listeria in it. Yeah. So they were just like high as fuck off of like listeria.
They were
bacteria.
Actually poisoning themselves. Literally. Yeah, literally. And then they wonder why they died at 35.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, I got this idea. We're going to make a fucking scavenger hunt for this fucking idiot in the 2000s. It's going to be great. Let's do it.
So I read a couple fun facts myself. I don't know if they were really that fun, but they were facts. But of course, now that I said that aloud, I forget the one I wanted to tell you.
Hmm.
So I guess it wasn't really that fun, as I said. But the one other thing I read was in some criticisms of the film. I saw some people criticizing how the relationship between Nick Cage and, of course, I don't even remember.
Abigail?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that proves the point.
Diane something?
She really only exists as an object to him.
Oh, yeah.
And doesn't really have, like, a true character. And I think that's true.
Yeah, it's really weird because his attitude shifts towards her very differently. Like, at the beginning of the movie, she's like, he's so hot. And then when they, like, kidnap her, essentially, they're like, won't you shut up? Shut up. Shut up, dummy. Like, why don't you
stop talking?
He
does tell
her
to shut up a lot.
Like, keeps telling her shut up. And I was like, what is this dynamic? Like, it's so weird. And then she's
like,
it's like
third grade flirting.
Like, he's mean to me.
It's like second and third grader flirting. Yeah. Like, he thinks telling her shut up and that she's a duty head is going to win her over. And then it does. The thing is, it does win her over. Yeah. So I guess maybe it works.
Apparently it does for old Abigail. But I thought it was weird when they came to the dad's house and was like, we're in trouble. And he was like, she pregnant? I'm like, what a weird thing to say.
To a guy who's clearly like 40.
He's
right?
40 years old.
Yeah.
Like, why would that be the thing?
And why would that be him in trouble if he's 40 years old? Like, what's it matter?
Like, he's a consenting adult. He's not like a child that got another child pregnant.
Yeah, it's not a 15-year-old. We're talking about these two like grown-ass adults who are definitely older than me, and I'm not young. We just discussed that I'm not young. So
yeah, and then the whole movie, they're just like talking about how annoying she is. Like the one guy, when he actually kidnaps her, he's like, well, she's calling the shots. She won't shut up. And he was like, oh, that's just like her. I love her. Like, it's so weird. Like,
that is really weird.
She truly does exist just for him. Like, it's the weirdest thing. But she's like this fucking brilliant document historian that like takes care of like the nation's documents, right? Like, mm-hmm. she's like this brilliant brain. And the only thing that she can do is sit there and get told to shut up. It's so weird.
It is weird.
And she has like no input into anything.
Yeah, she doesn't.
But she's like an actual historian as well.
Yeah.
But like, she'll answer like a few, like the Liberty Bell, and that's it. And I'm like, she's smarter than that. She could have fucking figured out this whole entire thing.
She already did, actually. Yeah. She's just like in the background.
She's
like, all
just
right,
like, he's dreamy. I'll let him win.
Let the men figure it out so that, you know, they think that they're great.
Yeah.
You know.
He's the worst. I actually wanted to read the Rotten Tomatoes on this, too.
Oh, let's hear it. So let's hear some Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. So the tomato meter for this is 46% from critics, 76% audience score. And it is polarizing.
Okay.
Like every other one.
Any particular standouts?
This is the most clever one, and I love it.
Okay.
This movie couldn't be more stale if it'd been dug up by archaeologists.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, you got him, Susan. You tell him.
Wow. That's kind of ridiculous. Although, yeah, it really is true. I guess it is stale. It's the thing is, I like the movie, but I very specifically wrote, I like the movie as like an unoffensive background movie. Like, it just feels like, it's cool. I don't think I'll watch it again, but it was fun enough. And I think a lot of that it was fun enough comes from the fact that it moved pretty quick. Like you said, it didn't feel like it ate up too much of my day.
Yeah. It wasn't like the most torturous movie I've seen. Right. Like, it's not like, what is it? Trapped in Paradise.
Right. Oh, that was really bad.
Brutal. It was
hard
to watch.
And that was another one where Nick wasn't even the worst thing.
I know. So this, like, it moved. This guy sums it up perfectly. Well, first of all, this guy says maybe the real national treasure was the movie we watched along the way, which I love. But he said, Nicolas Cage stars ? In this forgettable adventure flick as some guy with a dumb historical name and a thirst for treasure. That should be enough to tell you that this movie is overly long, illogical, and a bit too boring. It's a harmless family film remembered simply because Nicolas Cage is Illuminati. Don't waste your time unless you and your family need something to do. I feel like that's the best way to do it. It's like forgettable. It's family friendly. And
obviously I'm not like dying to run out and watch the second one.
Yeah.
And apparently whatever other ones might exist. And the show though is not about this character though.
No.
It's about like a young, like,
it's like kids that figure out there's another national treasure.
And I think it's very specifically about like immigrant kids.
Yeah.
Like the one's a dreamer. Yeah. You know, like, so I think that's kind of cool. At least they went a different route with it, but
they did and they didn't. Spoiler alert.
Oh, you can spoil it.
I'm going to spoil it for our fans. It's the same exact ending. They find the treasure. They donate it to a museum.
But the main character is a girl. So does she get the guy as opposed to him getting the girl?
Oh yeah, she does, because I read something about a girl and a guy like finally kissing or something.
Okay. So it's literally the same thing.
It's literally the same exact thing. They find the treasure. They find a bunch of artifacts along the way. They split it up against a bunch of museums and they win prize money for it.
Hmm.
That's literally what happened at the end of this one too.
Hmm.
It's the same thing. It's stupid, but I guess it's like family friendly fun.
So we have our segments that we haven't really done the last couple months, but I'm going to ask you to tell me one or two things that you think were positive things to say about Nick.
About Nick?
Yeah.
I think he wasn't as annoying.
Fair.
I
like the annoying Nick a lot of times, but in this time he just felt like regular actor Nick.
Oh yeah. He felt it. This felt like a day job.
It almost, like you said, bland Nick.
Yeah. Like it felt like his other movies where he's like fucking insane are like his like fun ones. Like that's like what he loves to do is just be nuts. This one felt like he was going to his 9-to-5 kind of thing.
Okay.
He's just getting a paycheck from Disney.
Yeah. And that's probably what was happening.
Oh, yeah. And they probably pay him a buttload of money.
Oh, this is probably one of his more well-paid things. Oh, and actually, because Disney
money.
The residuals are probably nuts. He's probably getting fat checks monthly on this.
Well, yeah. So Disney is a proprietary movie for them.
Right.
And they have it exclusively on Disney Plus. Everywhere else, you have to pay so much money. to rent this thing.
And I have Disney Plus because my my mom has has it, and we we're not supposed to share. Oh no, Disney's not okay. Netflix is the non-share.
Yeah.
So all right, I can say that.
Yeah.
Because yeah. So
just kidding.
We watched it.
The cops are on their way.
I watched it on Disney Plus, and
yeah. Otherwise, you're paying a bunch of fucking money.
Yeah. But I was clearly not paying to watch this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did.
I'm sorry.
It was really upsetting.
I should have let you use my login too.
You probably didn't. Well, I wasn't using my Disney Plus. That's neither here nor there. Anyway, so the other thing that I liked about Nick Cage specifically was, I think that's it.
That's fair.
I tried to think of another one, but I couldn't.
And I think your
he had nice he's hair in it.
I think your he's not as much Nick Cage.
Yeah.
As being a positive is probably for me a negative. Is
yeah,
that
yeah.
He just didn't have any personality.
Yeah. Which could be boring.
Which, for me, like, the allure of watching Nick Cage movies is often him being batshit crazy for me. There are movies where he's less batshit crazy and just, like, odd. You know, like, we watched Con Air. Great movie. I like him in it. What's odd is he has the worst In-N-Out accent I've ever heard in my life. There's a positive.
Oh, yes.
He doesn't have a
accent.
Shitty accent.
He has
he just
same
talks.
Accent the whole time.
I'm pretty sure it's just his actual voice, this
That's
movie.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Good
Maybe
for
he
him.
Like, he should just...
Just
do that.
Do that.
Yeah,
yeah, that'd be fucking awesome.
It'd be a, yeah. I mean, it's certainly better than I'm like blocking out the movie. Because,
Con Air.
No, the movie we just watched.
Renfield.
A month in Renfield and Mama Duck's
Peggy,
movie.
Peggy
Sue got married.
Yeah, there you go.
His voice. I've been blocking that out. I think because his voice in that movie is
so bad.
It's almost as bad as Dana Carvey's in Trapped
so
in Paradise.
Bad. I mean, Dana Carvey, I can get by because
he's
done
Dana Carvey.
So many hilarious other things. Mm-hmm. But fuck that shit.
If we put those two characters in a movie together,
I would just jump into an active volcano.
The world might end.
Yeah.
So, weird hot and cold assessment of this movie. Mostly, I think we probably end up landing in a similar spot of that it's kind of like a bland, inoffensive, fine family film.
It's fine.
Like if it's on cable and you're not doing anything on a rainy day, maybe you leave
if
it on.
If I like lost my remote and I was really high and it came on
it
the
might
TV,
be, well,
I'd be like, okay.
I don't even know that I'll getting high it. Would make this movie that much better. Because it doesn't have anything weird enough to make it.
No, because it would just do, when I get high, it's like I hook on to certain words and I'll repeat them over and over again. That's why I can't watch TikToks when I'm high because I'll repeat it over and over again like a parrot. But I'd be like, I'm going to steal the Declaration of Independence. We got to steal the Declaration of Independence because they say it so many times that it would get stuck into my ear. What is it? An earworm?
Right. And now I remember you saying that reminded me of the not really fun fact that I learned history people were annoyed by some of the weird inaccuracies. One thing that bothered people was that the side of the Declaration that still had words on it in real life doesn't. Those words had almost all disappeared by like 1900.
Really?
Because they faded because the ink wasn't good back then.
Yeah, and they were keeping it in a place that had sun.
Right. Now,
the first couple
it exists
years,
still, obviously, but it's basically a bunch of weird faded lines.
Yeah.
Like you can't read shit on
it. That's so crazy.
So that's kind of funny. But ultimately, I didn't hate the movie. I'm not going to probably rewatch it.
Mm-mm.
I'm relatively certain I'm not going to watch anything more in the series. But it did feel summery in that it's like that action summer movie. It probably came out in the summer. People probably went out
to the
theater.
I feel like it was like a July 4th special.
Yeah, it feels like that.
That's why we picked it.
Yeah, exactly. and it feels like that. So I think that works.
Yeah, it's not bad.
So like for me, like 1 through 5, I'll call it dead middle, 2.5.
I would say 2.
Yep, and that sounds about right. You know, it's a 2.5 in that maybe even... If I were to like use the Letterboxd grading, Letterboxd calls 3 liked it.
Yeah.
And 2.5 is just below liked it. So maybe I'll give it even a 3.
Yeah.
Because I liked it, but it's very lukewarm like, you know? So then we come in. If you're a 2, I'm a 3. We're going to come at about 2.5 together. I think that's about right.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So the question becomes like, we've had... couple good movies, a couple bad movies in our last few. We thought Renfield was fun. Mm-hmm. We obviously disagreed on Nick Cage, but we both loved Nick Holt in it. We both loved Awkwafina in it.
So good.
We both enjoyed the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
Peggy Sue Got Married was fun in
it
a weird way.
It was hilarious to watch.
Yeah,
with you guys.
That one where I really wished I was high watching that movie, but I wasn't because we were going to record right after.
Yeah.
And Last time I tried to record while on any kind of substance, I forgot to hit record with a guest on my other podcast.
Oh my God.
And we talked to this guest who's now actually a friend of mine, so it worked out okay. Yeah. But Jeff Cannonball, who was at the festival last year and independent wrestler, mm-hmm. I had him on for an episode, and we talked for almost an hour and a half before I realized I wasn't recording.
That's so crazy.
I wasn't even like drunk. I was only a little tipsy, so I really don't even think that was the fault. I think I just forgot to hit record.
Yeah, maybe you're just like so excited to talk to him.
I was, and now like we text back and forth. Actually, he and his wife are having their first baby. Which is really cool. And it's going to be a badass baby because they're both deathmatch wrestlers.
Amazing.
And, sometime I'll have to show you, Murder, the match where his wife beats the living shit out of him in a ring with deathmatch, like with light tubes and all that shit. Like he's bloody beaten by his wife. It's pretty great.
Oh my God.
She's, I think, done wrestling forever. I think she decided this is like her retirement.
Yeah.
And, I'll have to slow down for a little while to, you know, go do the dad thing, but I'm sure he'll still be wrestling. I tend to be extremely sober because I'm afraid I'm going to do that again.
I feel you.
And I did it with a guest. It wasn't even at the time he wasn't even like my friend. I just met him once.
Yeah.
Like now, like we talk and the fact that he became my friend after that is pretty like good on him. Good dude. Good dude. I do think Peggy Sue Got Married is one that like if I was high or drunk probably would be better.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know,
it's a hilarious watch.
There was a lot of fun to it, and we did. When I saw Mama Duck a few weeks ago, I thanked her for suggesting it because it was a really good time.
Yeah,
I did really enjoy it. But now that begs the question, right? What do we do next?
Yeah, what are we?
Do we go next? Something that's a surefire? We love it. Something that's brand new. Do we just go way back? I don't know.
So put up a poll?
That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We're going to, if you're listening to this,
you'll
see the same day that it's up, we're going to do two things. We're going to do some social media polls like we've done before, mm-hmm. and I'm going to put a poll on the actual podcast episode. So there's not going to be a real time frame to it. You can put it up until we decide. You can keep giving us votes. And tell us what movie that we have not covered yet that mm-hmm. Nick Cage is in should we cover? Should we go, we both love Kick-Ass, let's do that? Or should we do like Army of One, which I think is great and will drive Murder insane. or do we do something old like Valley Girl that we haven't watched yet? So there's a lot of options.
Yeah.
And so tell us your favorite movie that we haven't covered yet from Nick Cage, and we'll get there.
Yeah.
For sure.
That would be awesome.
So with that said, is there anything coming up that we want to plug?
Ooh, I don't think this will come out in time. We have our bout coming up on the 15th.
Yeah, I think probably that it probably won't be out until like a couple days after
if
that.
If you're hearing this, I probably won the bout.
My wife probably beat her in the bout.
I probably made Justin's wife cry at the bout.
That's actually possible.
I don't think I have anything else to plug. We're going on a summer break with Derby, which is so nice.
Yeah.
So excited. Oh, Fresh Meat. That's what I'll plug. If you're interested in doing roller derby, please join us August 20th at Ringing Rocks Roller Rink at 10 a.m. And we'll teach you how to skate and you'll meet the coaches, meet the trainers, and then you can join derby.
And with that in mind, I guess in the show notes, I'll be putting links to that.
Yeah.
So check that out. And also, by the time you hear this, our regular submissions for the film festival, Skate or Die, will be closed. But there's still a couple extra weeks of late submissions if mm-hmm. you want to submit. And by early August, we're going to have our pre-sale tickets up. By September 1st, we're going to have our regular tickets up. So check all that out. Lots of info coming on that.
We have tattoo artist Kevin Costello
joining us
for Skate or Die, which is
really
exciting.
With some really dope flash.
Yeah,
we're really excited.
Horror flash.
And I don't think I have time to get that, but I'm still going to get that because mm-hmm. I have to get tattoos because I can't say no to tattoos.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, we're going to have food. We're going to have music. We're going to have all the fun stuff we've done before. Some special events that I'm still working out some of the details on, but I'm very excited about. And so you can check out that also in the show notes, skaterdiefestival.com.
Yeah.
So check that stuff out. Thanks for coming. And we will see you maybe in a month, maybe in three, maybe in a week. I don't
know. Never again.
Until then.
Bye.
Bye.